Welcome to Left Out with Adam Grimm and Logan Davis, a weekly show where we discuss all things sports, from the controversial to lighthearted topics around the country. Now let's go to the host. This is Left Out.
What's up, sports fans? It's Logan Davis.
And I'm Adam Grimm, recording from Nick Saban's film room.
It's January 16th, and welcome to Episode 6. As always, make sure to follow us or subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter as well, at Left Out Official.
Today, we look back at Wild Card Weekend in the NFL and look forward to this week's divisional round matchups, and also take a look back at some of the best and worst parts of the college football season. We also debate the mega trade of superstar James Harden, and each give our initial winner of the trade. But first, let's talk about two of the best teams in college football history.
Let the game begin.
It's time to get this week started with the tip-off.
So over the past 2 years, we have had the pleasure of seeing two of the best college football teams in the history of the sport, with the 2019 LSU Tigers and the 2020 Alabama Crimson Tide. We're just going to take a look and see which of these teams we think may have been better based off of their overall rosters and performances throughout the season. So I will let you talk first about what you think on the 2019 LSU Tigers.
Absolutely. The LSU Tigers, for sure, I think quarterback, they have an advantage. Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow, obviously torched up last season, throwing for 5,671 yards and 60 touchdowns against only just 6 interceptions, which goes against Matt Jones's 4,500 passing yards and 41 touchdowns, but also 4 interceptions. So I think Joe Burrow for sure leads in quarterback position. And then for running back, I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire matches up to Najee Harris, but I feel like that whole offense was moving, so he was a great piece of it. And I think also comparing to Alabama, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase don't compare to Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, also current Heisman Trophy winner. So I'm going to give it to Alabama. I think LSU definitely has the better quarterback, but I think overall Alabama has the more offensive weapons.
I think when you look at it through the sense of you did, when just looking at the offenses, I would also give the upper hand to the Crimson Tide. But what separates the two teams for me is going to be that defense that LSU had. There was still a ton of NFL talent, top talent on that LSU defense between linebackers Patrick Queen and Clavon Chasen, as well as Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton. And they had another cornerback. I forget his name, but he's going to be a first-round pick next year. Overall, that team had 14 players drafted last year, and there's still going to be more this year and next as well that they had on it. I would say that Alabama did have the better offensive line of the two, and maybe even defensive line as well. But between the linebacking core and the secondary, I really believe that that is what separates the 2019 LSU Tigers from the 2020 Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, for sure. And to speak on the defensive line, like you were saying earlier, LSU gave up 121.5 rushing yards per game, while Alabama gave up just 113 rushing yards per game. Granted, Alabama played only 13 games, while LSU played 15. But Alabama racked up 35 sacks in 13 games, while LSU racked up 37 in 15 games. So kind of that trade-off.
I think we also need to look, though, and see that LSU really, towards the back half of the season, didn't have a particularly close game. Whereas you look at this Alabama team, they had some tests against Ole Miss and Florida where the games definitely were not comfortable and they let the other teams have a chance to win it. So I think that we can't look past that as far as performances go between the two teams as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Considering this is a COVID season and is only in conference games as well, I think it plays a huge part to both of these teams. But overall, both of these teams were incredible. And as a college football fan, it was incredible to watch both of these teams.
Absolutely agree.
And that wraps up the tip-off. Adam now with the news.
Big news, sports fans!
Let's talk about the sports news from around the country.
Yeah, I know I'm not exactly the jockey type, but I watched Hoosiers last night, and I like sports now.
Here are the biggest stories in sports.
Starting off the sports news this week in the NFL, head coaches are being hired all around the league. Urban Meyer goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Robert Saleh is headed to the New York Jets. And Arthur Smith is hired as the Atlanta Falcons head coach.
Yeah, obviously Urban Meyer is a huge big name hire for the Jaguars. They've had the worst record in the past 2 or 3 seasons, I believe. So hopefully Urban is on the clock, the number one pick. So I think he's going to take Trevor Lawrence, but a lot of Buckeye fans are calling him to draft Justin Fields, which I feel like he has no attachment to Justin Fields personally. But what do you think about the Jaguars hire?
I think it's a great hire. There's a lot of people questioning whether his style will translate from college football into the pros. But I think as we see this more and more with more mobile quarterbacks, more spread offenses, the games are really starting to mesh between one another, and there's not that many differences in playing styles. And he's going to get a great quarterback, whoever he decides to take a number one pick. I think you really don't have many other options other than Trevor Lawrence. And I think that they have enough cap space and other draft picks to really figure out this roster and put together a team that can at least be competitive once again and take those initial steps that it takes to making the playoffs. Moving on to the Jets head coach hiring of Robert Saleh, I was a little bit surprised that they didn't go with a little bit more of an offensive mind than Robert Saleh, being the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. He was a very high-targeted one, obviously, with a bunch of people in Detroit wanting him to be hired there. So I thought that was a little bit weird, but I certainly get the hire. If you can bring in a quality offensive coordinator, then it's going to work well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I was surprised as well. But I think the Jets organization, I guess, is just trying to hone on their defense. Because at the end of the day, I mean, defense wins championships for the most part in the NFL. But yeah, definitely a surprise hire, but I'm good for him. And again, I said this last week, but good luck, because the Jets are a shambles organization and they have a decision to make at number two as well. And then for the Falcons hire, I honestly know nothing about the Titans offensive coordinator. Obviously, Tennessee's had great success on offense with, you know, Tannehill, AJ Brown, and especially Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 yards this past season. So hopefully the Falcons take the right direction, but I think Matt Ryan or Julio Jones is probably going to be gone if I had to guess.
Yeah, I mean, he has a bunch of options what he can do with the number four pick as well as his two veterans, so hopefully he'll be able to make something out of that. Also around the NFL, the Deshaun Watson saga continues, now with Andre Johnson reaching out to him and telling him to hold his ground versus the organization of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson wants out, and Andre Johnson obviously reinforcing it.
He doesn't necessarily want out.
Okay, well, I read a report earlier that said that there is no way he wants to play for Houston anymore. But that may be incorrect. Anyways, but Andre Johnson said, I read something that he said, like, they waste players' primes. And so Houston is in shambles right now with their GM search and still head coaching vacancy, I believe. They're still looking for their coach.
Yes.
And Deshaun Watson is obviously a top 12 quarterback, maybe. I don't know. At times,
top
maybe top
12.
10. I don't know. Maybe a hard cold.
Top I'm trying six. To
think. Okay, top six.
Come on.
So he doesn't want his, sorry, no disrespect to Sean, but he doesn't want his talents to be wasted, which I totally understand. And Houston's just got to figure it out. And if he stays, then he's got to get some more pieces or a better coach.
And this is a huge thing coming from Andre Johnson, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL at his time, one of the best players in Houston Texans history. So it's never a good thing whenever you have former players saying stuff like that. Headed over to the NBA. Lots of stuff unfolding with the James Harden dilemma. DeMarcus Cousins saying that James Harden was disrespectful during his antics, and Eric Gordon now saying that the Rockets finally have a real direction as a franchise.
Yeah, we're going to touch on the whole James Harden trade in the main event, but I'll just say that if DeMarcus Cousins says that a player is disrespectful as he has been labeled a locker room cancer, that is bad. That just shows that James Harden might be a true locker room cancer for the Rockets. And honestly, this year has been really unfortunate for the Rockets, and new coach Steven Silas has had to juggle with a superstar who doesn't want to play for him and trying to get all these other guys on the team motivated to win games. But I mean, it's a good move for the Rockets, and I'm glad that the players feel like they have a real direction now with the superstar diva now in Brooklyn.
Hopefully that can translate to some winning basketball and they can get back on track to making the playoffs. Head coach of the Chicago Bulls, Billy Donovan, says Chicago Bulls want to win, but they just don't know how to yet.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting story. Zach LaVine's having a career year, right now. He's averaging 28 points per game, 5 assists, I think 6 rebounds, and shooting 49% from the field and 39% from 3, which is pretty well. However, they're just blowing huge leads. Like last night against the Thunder, they blew a 21-point lead. And so Billy Donovan's just got to get these guys to lock in on defense and really buy in. But the Bulls team has just been a young group of guys for these past couple of years that just haven't been bought into winning. And the organization really hoped for Billy Donovan to change that. But obviously you can't change that over the first 10 or 11 games. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what eventually happens with Zach LaVine. I don't know if he can be your best player if you're going to be a winning team. He's just maybe not that kind of player, and it's going to be tough for the Chicago Bulls to figure out, but who knows? Hopefully he can prove me wrong. We will see. Over to the collegiate sports level now, NCAA President Mark Emmer gave his annual State of the Union address. Highlights of this included him being against a split of the NCAA and FBS football, and then he gave his reasoning for why there was a delay on voting of name, image, and likeness rules.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that the reasoning on delaying the vote on name, image, and likeness rule, to be honest. I didn't hear his whole State of the Union address, but absolutely, I think I support not splitting the NCAA and FBS, in my opinion. But what about you, Adam? What do you think?
It's an interesting argument. Obviously, that's where the most money comes in from for college sports, excuse me. But whenever you look at that, that may have a negative impact reaching to other sports that are non-revenue sports, so they don't make this money. And if there's a split between them and the NCAA, then maybe there's a split at the school level as well. And then the school stop funding those sports, they have to cut those sports. And it really just puts a lot more student athletes at a negative spot just so that the football teams can make more money. So I think it's interesting to see it happens, but I think it would overall be a negative for college sports. So I get why Mark Emmert is against it. Also in college, obviously Nick Saban has won his record 7th national title, winning 52-24 over Ohio State. He has passed Bear Bryant for the most national titles by a head coach all time.
All I'll say is this: Nick Saban is the greatest college coach of all time. That's pretty much all I got. Impressive win, totally throttled him. And yeah, I just couldn't be more impressed. Congratulations to Nick Saban for number 7. Maybe number 8 next year. We'll see, though.
Yeah, I feel bad for anybody who is not a fan of Alabama football because they also reeled in the best recruiting class of all time this year. So it does not look like their success will be going away anytime soon either. That's all for the sports news this week. Let's debate the mega trade that occurred involving superstar James Harden.
It's showtime! And now, the main attraction.
This is what you've been waiting for. Our biggest discussion of the week.
Cool.
It's time for the main event.
As stated before, we are going to make the case for why each of the two teams have won the James Harden trade. I will be arguing that the Nets won, and Logan will be arguing that the Houston Rockets were winners.
Okay, so for the Rockets, usually I would not be taking Houston's side, but because I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan, but I'm just going to say this. I'm going to read you the picks that the Rockets have received from Brooklyn. They received 3 unprotected first-round draft picks in 2022, 2024, and 2026. In addition to that, they also get pick swaps in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027. And they also get Milwaukee's 2022 first-round pick from Cleveland. Just that alone, that is a plethora of picks. So much draft talent that you can get, rebuild for the Houston Rockets. And in addition to these picks, you get also Victor Oladipo from the Pacers, Dante Exum from the Cavs, and then Rod Irons Kirkus.
Rodions Kirkus from the Nets.
Okay. Rodions Kirkus. I butcher names a lot. I apologize. So overall, I just think that the Rockets got a great return from James Harden. Obviously, they're not going to get the exact exchange. They're not going to get a superstar of James Harden's caliber. But I feel like this sets up the Houston Rockets organization for years to come. And I really think that Victor Oladipo on his contract year is going to be a great addition with John Wall and Christian Wood and DeMarcus Cousins. So I feel like that they'll play very well. And I think Dante Exum is kind of just a bench player, but he'll provide some good minutes nonetheless. But I really think Houston really set themselves up for long-term success. I feel like they're now the Pelicans and the Thunder, where they have every pick in the next upcoming draft. But yeah, those are kind of the main points.
So let me ask you this question in regards to that. You get all these picks, the Bucks pick, the Nets picks. What happens whenever the Nets and the Bucks are competing for titles for the next 5 years or so? Those picks then come at the end of the first round, where they're basically turning into second round picks. There's not a lot of talent there. Maybe you get a few picks at the end where they're really good. But I'm never really sure how valuable picks are from contenders in these situations.
I don't trust that Brooklyn is going to be in championship contention for the next 5 years. I really think they have like a 2 to 3 year window. And so that's why I think I value Brooklyn's picks a lot more, because I think Kevin Durant, Harden, and Kyrie are not going to stay together for 5 years. This has become a market where it's short-term contracts. I know they all just signed long-term, but I feel that this whole trio is probably not going to work out unless they win multiple championships. And for sure, Milwaukee, I agree that their Milwaukee's pick's not going to be as valuable, but I also think that if the Rockets want to make moves, they can just, again, compile picks that they've just received and trade for another player so they can improve their contention in the title for a championship.
Okay. Well, let me say why the Nets won this trade now. Let's take a look back at the past four champions. You have the Los Angeles Lakers, the Toronto Raptors, and 2 years of the Golden State Warriors. What do those three teams have in common that they did the seasons that they won the championships? They made a big splash move to get a superstar, free agent, or trade piece. The Lakers took a chance. They gave up on their youth core, and they acquired Anthony Davis. They won a championship. And it's probably because of Anthony Davis that they won that championship. I don't think they won it without him. You look at the Raptors. They made a splash trade. They moved on from DeMar DeRozan finally at that franchise and went to Kawhi Leonard. They win a championship because of Kawhi Leonard. The Warriors twice. A lot of people were wondering, will Kevin Durant mess up this chemistry? He's the second best player in the world. They went out. They signed him. They win two championships and probably put together the best team ever. This has become the formula for winning in the NBA, and that's what the Nets just did. They went out and saw a superstar that was available. They went and they got that superstar, and now I believe this puts them in a position to win a championship. It seems like this trade has pleased Kyrie, and he might be coming back to them now, but really all that they care about is winning a championship, and I think that this is the trade that does it for them.
I'm just going to say this. I agree. Obviously, big trades, big players win the championship. I don't think James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, if they don't win the championship this season, it's a bust. Absolutely. I can't wait to watch them all three play together. They're all very, I would say Kevin Durant's the least ball dominant out of James Harden, Kyrie Irving. And I can't wait to watch them all dribble and ISO, because I think they're three of the top five most, like the players who've isolated the most in like clutch time. So I'm excited to see that ball movement. Cheers for that. But I just don't, like, if the Nets don't win this year, then I consider it a failure. And they did this before with Boston when they had got Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Darren Williams, right?
Yeah.
Or he was already on the team. And that big three, obviously, granted, they were a lot older.
That's a different big three.
That's fair. They were a lot older than the current, but I just think that if the Nets don't win the championship this year, then they're in some trouble.
Only time will tell who the actual winner of this trade is. Obviously, these are just initial reactions, but it is time now to move on.
Make sure to comment who won this week's debate on our Instagram at LeftOutOfficial. Now let's talk about what's going on the gridiron and the hardwood.
Hello, you play to win the game.
These are the headlines from around the league and association.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
With Wild Card Weekend now behind us, we focus on the final four teams in each conference and look to the divisional round of games coming up this weekend. First up, we have the Rams versus the Packers.
This is going to be a great game. It's the number one defense versus the number one offense, and I put the Packers. I think the Packers will be able to move the ball with Aaron Jones and Davante Adams against this Rams defense. And I think Mercedes Valdes-Scantling, I believe is his name. I think I pronounced that right. Okay. Well, I'm trying. I think he's going to have a big game because if Jalen Ramsey's on Davante Adams all game, it will open up another receiver to explode with Aaron Rodgers at the helm of the offense.
He can get rid of the drops.
That's fair. Well, maybe he can clutch it up in clutch time. But I think also Jared Goff still has his thumb injury, and I think they're going to have to rely heavily on their run offense for the Rams. So I take the Packers in this one.
Yeah, the Rams were definitely incredible last week against the Seahawks. There's something up with that offense. They're able to completely shut down Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett as well. But you just look at it, Rodgers and Davante Adams are a completely different animal. There's nothing like them in the NFL. They're the best quarterback wide receiver duo right now. And I don't think it's particularly close. And it's just too much for the Rams. I think it's a fairly close game, but with Jared Goff having his thumb injury, I think that it starts to show this week. And unfortunately for the Rams, fortunately for me, however, the Packers will win this one.
Exactly. The next matchup is the Buccaneers versus the Saints.
So in this one, the Saints obviously have had very good success this year against the Bucs. But as they always say in the NFL, the third win against a team is going to be the hardest one that you will have. I think that the Bucs lose close because I'm just not sure of what their identity is on offense. And I think that their defense can be a little bit inconsistent at times and allow teams to hang around that really shouldn't. So I like the Saints in this one, but I think it'll be a lot closer than the first two games.
I also agree. I took the Saints as well. I think this is going to be a close game. I wrote down like 27-24. I think Tom Brady and the Bucs are going to put up a fight. Obviously, there's great offensive weapons on both sides for the teams. And you got Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Alvin Kamara, who's having a great season. And then obviously on the Bucs side, you got Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown. So I just think at the end of the day, the Saints defense is a lot more consistent than the Buccaneers, like you said earlier. So I take the Saints in a close game.
Up next, we have the Ravens versus the Bills. Both were involved in close games last week. I think the Bills step up and are able to do enough to stop the running game of Baltimore and are able to pull out a close win. I like Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. And for that reason, I do give them the slight edge over the Ravens in this one.
Man, we're just agreeing for all these picks. I also choose the Bills. Josh Allen has just been phenomenal. And also, I heard there might be snow, so this will be maybe Lamar Jackson's first game with snow, so we'll see if he can run for over 100 yards again. But I think that the Bills defense, like you said earlier last week, that the Bills defense has really stepped up. But I think this is honestly going to be a close game, honestly. So I think it's like a 30. I'm going to do a weird score. I'm going to do 31-24.
It's not that weird. The final game of the week is the Browns and the Chiefs facing off. Browns coming off a very emotional win against the Steelers, their first playoff win in an extremely long time. But coming off of that emotional win, I do not believe that they have the juice that is left to overcome the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is just too much, and the Chiefs are able to advance.
Yeah, I'll keep this short. I'm just going to say congratulations to the Browns for beating the Steelers. Obviously, some salty Steelers players have said some things about the Browns getting smacked, and sadly that is what's going to happen. I'm never going to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the whole Chiefs team, so this will be an easy win for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I just need to take a second on that. Can the Steelers players please just stop talking? You're talking about how bad of a team this is even though you lost to them, so what does that make you? I never understand talking smack to a team that you lost to. Really.
Absolutely.
Rubs me the wrong way.
And get off TikTok too, Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool. You know who you are. And with that, it's time to head to the association and talk about the other two teams that may have benefited from the James Harden trade.
So obviously this was a big four-team trade, with the Cavaliers and Pacers also being involved in the trade. Main piece that the Cavaliers got was Jared Allen, and the main piece that the Pacers get is Caris LeVert. I'll let you talk about what you think this means for each of them.
The Cavaliers getting Jared Allen, I think, was a good acquisition. Sorry, I was going to say acquisition. Acquisition. I think that what the Cavaliers should do now is trade Andre Drummond and get some value. I think the Cavs are staying young. I think Jared Allen is going to be a great piece for this Cavalier team. And I think they should definitely give him more minutes or close to the same minutes as Andre Drummond until they trade him. For the Pacers, I loved watching Caris LeVert play in Brooklyn, especially with Kyrie sitting out. He's been absolutely balling. He's been doing everything, rebounds, assists, and he's been shooting lights out. So I think this is a great add for the Pacers. He'll just be another complimentary piece to Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis. So honestly, for both teams, I think it's great. And especially the Pacers dealing away Victor Oladipo to the Rockets, because there's some reports earlier that he didn't want to be in Indiana. But I know Pacers fans are sad to see Oladipo go, but get excited because Caris LeVert is legit.
Yeah, you get that great center to pair with Sexton and Garland and Allen. He's more of a defensive center, but really that's what you need whenever you have two more scoring guards. They do have. And you look at some of his performances lately, he gave a lot of trouble to the two best centers in the league in Nikola Jokic and Embiid, holding Jokic to just 23 points and Embiid to 20 points. So there's definitely something there with his defense, and I think that that goes really well with their backcourt duo of Sexton and Garland. And you also have Isaac Okoro out on the wing to be a great defender for them as well. So that lays the foundation of a successful team, in my opinion. And you look at the Pacers. One of the toughest things to do in the NBA is to make the decision to sign a player who's been good in the past but maybe isn't quite to that standard to a close to max deal or even a max deal, or to decide to let him walk in free agency for nothing. And with this trade, they were able to get past that decision. And they get Caris LeVert, who's under contract for three more years still. And in the bubble last year, I think he showed that he can lead an offense when he is healthy. That's the major concern with it. But I think that they may even be a better team without Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just think that Caris LeVert is just going to be a great piece. And even if they make him come off the bench some games, might not be a bad idea, especially leading that second unit. Because I said earlier, he can just do everything.
Yeah, I think that we talk about who is the winner, the Nets or the Rockets, but maybe one of these teams actually ends up being the biggest winner of all out of the trade. It's always really interesting to see with these four team trades. Now it's time to transition from the pros to the collegiate level in the college rundown.
Now maybe it's just me, but college was very confusing times.
It's the College Rundown, where we break down all the important stories in college football and basketball from this week.
The college football season has sadly come to a close, but in such a crazy year, we can be thankful to have even had the season that we did. With that said, we're going to take a deeper dive into some of the highlights and low points throughout this college football season. Adam, so take it away.
Yeah, with the best parts, you see most of the season was played. That's something that not a lot of people expected around the July timeframe, but a lot of these commissioners were able to put their heads together with the athletic directors, and they were able to get stuff done, which is a big deal. Also, I was a huge fan of the all-conference schedules that a lot of teams played. I think this made a lot more games competitive than we usually see. I think that it was great for the sport, and hopefully we can come back next year and have another great season.
Yeah, for pros, I said I loved the in-conference games. I loved watching the SEC specifically, obviously, both of us being SEC football fans, A&M and Missouri.
It just means more.
It just means more, exactly. obviously, pro for me is just A&M had a great season, and Jimbo Fisher really turned the team around. And I think just like the one negative I have, honestly, was just seeing COVID affect some key players not being able to play games, like especially Trevor Lawrence when he got COVID and was out for the first time that Notre Dame and Clemson matched up. I feel like that was kind of a letdown. Didn't really affect their season, I guess, as they ended up in the college football playoffs, but you kind of wonder if he didn't get sick, if things would have played out differently. But, and then also I think another negative would be kind of like delayed games. Kind of frustrated me, Ohio State playing six or seven games, but that's just the COVID pandemic that we live in. So
yeah, my biggest negative was just a lot of the bowl games outside of the New Year's Six just did not feel important whatsoever. Usually they don't feel that important anyway. It's more of just a fun opportunity, but this year, that fun opportunity that they usually have for a lot of the teams was stripped away by COVID. And I think that that's really unfortunate that it happened the way that it did. These teams would fly in and play it just like a regular road game, and where they would only have 2 days before the game whenever they would get there. And that takes away a lot of the experience from the players. And I think that was just really unfortunate to see them from them. And then also, we can't look past the College Football Playoff Committee. Hopefully this turns into a net positive where we're able to rework the system and figure out a better way to figure out things. But this year, that was definitely a big negative for me.
Absolutely. And one thing I'll just add about you talking about the College Football Playoff Committee, I just think that watching the Notre Dame slaughter is what I'm going to call it. I hope it's a net positive. I hope that there's some change, and that next season it's more competitive and teams are playing at the highest level. So
with that, we wrap up this week's show talking about some of the older quarterbacks around the NFL who may be seeing the end of their careers.
It's been a blast, but it's almost time to go. We wrap up this week with the home stretch.
As the divisional round approaches this weekend, younger quarterbacks such as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are continuing onto the road to Super Bowl 55. With these young quarterbacks' success, Adam and I are going to look at a couple veteran quarterbacks whose teams may want to move on from them.
So we're going to start off talking about Ben Roethlisberger, a quarterback who had a good start to the season, was looking good coming off of his elbow surgery, but really towards the end of it, he just tailed off. And I think that he really started to show his age and not being played last year, some of that elbow injury. And you just wonder what that means for his future. But according to reports that I saw today, the Steelers are actually interested in bringing him back, even with a reduced salary cap. So that's definitely an interesting decision on their part if they were to do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Ben Roethlisberger definitely fell apart near the end of the season. And obviously in his last game this season, threw four picks. And but he threw four touchdowns. I guess that cancels that, right? No, I'm totally
doesn't matter.
No, four turnovers is four turnovers. But I think the Steelers organization absolutely loves Ben Roethlisberger, and I think bringing him back for one more year honestly wouldn't hurt them. They just fired their offensive coordinator, so maybe bringing in a new guy can help build on the last of Ben Roethlisberger's strengths in this offense. And they got a couple decisions to make on the offensive side as well, as Juju Smith-Schuster is a free agent.
Yeah, my worry with that, though, is that they promoted their quarterback's coach to their offensive coordinator, so not really going to see much of a difference there, I would imagine.
I was not aware of that. I never and disregard what I just said.
Up next is Matt Ryan, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. They're going to get a new head coach, but they do have the fourth overall pick where they could select either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or any other player that they like more at the time. With that fourth pick, assuming that the Dolphins are not interested in taking a quarterback with the third pick, which I would imagine is the case.
I think Matt Ryan's going to be on the move. I think they're going to take a young quarterback. I don't think the Falcons are obviously in win now mode. It's going to be a couple rebuilding years, and Matty Ice has done a great service to the team, and I just think it's time for him to move on. I put down the 49ers question mark, maybe. But that might be of a stretch of a team who might want to trade for him.
Yeah, I definitely think that he still has a few more good years where he can be a competent quarterback in the NFL if he's surrounded by the right personnel. But I don't think that that team is going to be with the Atlanta Falcons. I think it's time that they go younger and give up on this aging core of Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, some of the other players, and try and get as many assets as you can to help improve that defense. And then take a young quarterback early on and hope that he's the guy that can begin to lead you towards that elusive Super Bowl for the Atlanta Falcons franchise. Then we have Matt Stafford of the Detroit Lions. An interesting situation there. I really don't know what the Lions are going to do this offseason as far as anything goes with their personnel.
Adam, I completely agree. I have no idea. Matt Stafford, I have huge respect for him, and he's an incredible quarterback, and I just feel bad. It's just Detroit's a nightmare ever since Matt Patricia left, and I don't know what direction they're going to go. I don't know if they're going to trade Stafford or they're going to keep him. I mean, I believe he's only 32, so he still has a couple more years in him, but yeah, I have no idea. If I had just a team that's going to trade for him, maybe I could see him going to the Washington football team. But I feel like that may not be part of their plan. So
yeah, it's just a really, really tough situation for them to figure out. Because obviously Matthew Stafford has all the talent in the world that you need from a quarterback, in my opinion, at least, watching him in games.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You just wonder, like, it's just time to move on for him. And he's done so much for that city, but at some point you just need to hit the reset button all the way. And I think that getting rid of him will do that. And I think that he can have some more good years in the NFL. Obviously, the big wins have always eluded him. And so hopefully he can find a new franchise and figure out how to win some of those big games in the future. And lastly, there is Philip Rivers of the Indianapolis Colts.
Philip Rivers, man. What a career. What a sad ending, obviously, at the Colts. But I think it's time to retire. I think the Colts obviously took a one-year chance. because their defense was obviously so dominant. But at times, you were a turnover machine, as you've been known for throughout your entire career. So it may be time to hang up the cleats and maybe go to a broadcasting role. You're pretty funny when you're mic'd up on the NFL. So
if I am the Indianapolis Colts, if I'm Frank Reich, I'm taking a trip back to 2017. What happened in 2017? Frank Reich is the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously a team that won the Super Bowl. But you look back at that regular season, who was the MVP through 13 weeks that season? It was Carson Wentz, who is likely to be available as a quarterback on the market this year. Carson Wentz. If there is one man that can save Carson Wentz's career, I think it is Frank Reich. I think that the Indianapolis Colts need to go out and get Carson Wentz, pair those two up together, and see what they can do now.
That would be incredible. That was a great prediction. I hope that comes true, because I think Jalen Hurts is definitely going to be the guy in Philly, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think that Carson Wentz just needs a new environment, and I think that Indianapolis needs a new quarterback. So I think that this is a match made in heaven. I think that they need to take the chance and do it, see what happens if they're able to get those two back together. Who knows, maybe Carson Wentz can become the quarterback who we all thought he could be in the past.
Maybe, maybe.
Now it's time for us to tell you what probably won't happen this week.
General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
All right, let's hear the blasphemy that you came up with this week.
Let me just say before I get started, last week I said the Dallas Mavericks would go 5-0 if they put in Willie Cauley-Stein as their center. And last night they suffered a loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, ending their 5-game win streak. So you may call it blasphemy, but I just secured a bold prediction. And with that, I will continue my prediction with saying that the Harden and the new Nets duo of KD and Kyrie Irving are going to lose their first two games together. They're going to have some time to mesh. And again, as I said earlier, I can't wait to see them get frustrated with each other about who has the ball, who takes the last shot. So what about you, Adam? What kind of atrocity do you have to say?
Kyrie retires. No, not really.
No way.
Mine's headed over to the NFL. I think that this is a quarterback who's been questioned a little bit lately because he hasn't put in some of his best performances. But I believe that's just because he's sort of put it into neutral and is coasting a little bit at the end of the regular season. That man is none other than the best quarterback in the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes. He's going to remind everyone who he is. He is the best quarterback in the NFL. This week against the Browns' weaker secondary, he will go for 350-plus yards, 4-plus touchdowns. And once again, he will remind us that he is the best quarterback in the NFL. A huge game from him, a huge game from the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody's like, oh yeah, that's who he is.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that very bold, obviously. But I think what you're saying, the narrative for sure, I think they've been hyping up Josh Allen a lot in these past couple of weeks. Not saying he hasn't been great. It's just don't forget who's the reigning Super Bowl MVP. So.
Absolutely. All right, what are you thinking about this week?
Well, obviously my Dallas Mavericks are doing great. I lost to the Bucks last night, which hurt. But I'm shifting it to the other Dallas team. It's for my Dallas Cowboys. We hired former Falcons head coach Dan Quinn as our defensive coordinator. And I'll be honest, I like the hire. I think it's going to be good. We're going back to our old defensive scheme that we ran in previous years. And I think this upcoming year could be our year. I think Dallas would come
back. Like every year?
Yes, like every year. But I think next year is for sure our year. I think we're going to have the whole team back, get our defense back in order. So Dan Quinn, we're glad to have you on the Dallas Cowboys staff. But if we do have, again, the statistically worst defense ever, I will never, ever root for anybody former Falcons staff ever again. So,
yeah, let me just say that maybe he can get you guys to your first NFC championship game in 25 years. Who knows, though?
All right.
I had to take
the stab, a little jab, don't you?
Of course. Mine relates to just personal life. I've been seeing a lot of people talking about just how bad 2021 is already. Let me just say that just because it went from 2020 to 2021 isn't what's going to make it a good year. What's going to make it a good year is if you make it a good year. You have that choice whether or not to get out, do some stuff. Obviously, that is COVID safe in our current environment. But you have that choice of whether you want to do those things or whether you want to just dwell on what is happening around this country, around this world, and take all the negatives, or if you want to make a positive out of the situation that you may be in currently. Obviously, not all of us are going to be in positive situations, but just try and make the most out of whatever situation you are in, and hopefully it can turn out the best for you.
Adam, that was beautiful. Absolutely. Thank you. 100% agree with that. 2021 is going to be a great year.
Yeah, it
is. And that's all we have for this week. As always, leave your feedback and comment on our Instagram at LeftOutOfficial. For Adam Grimm, I'm Logan Davis.
And for Logan Davis, I'm Adam Grimm. We'll see you next week.